The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Powering your property on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for Powering Your Property, our weekly look at the biggest headlines coming out of the property space. And in numbers out today, it seems Singapore's worst recession and the Hungry Ghost Month are no match for Singapore's property sector. New home sales have hit an 11-month high. For his insights today, we're joined by Nicholas Mark, Head of Research and Consultancy at ERA Real Estate. Nick, thanks for joining us. Hope you've been keeping well.
Oh, yes. Everything's fine. Well, staying healthy.
And it looks like these property numbers are healthy. New home sales in Singapore continue to rise for a fourth straight month, reaching an almost one-year high. Nick, is this all due to pent-up demand? Typically, we start to see things, you know, a little bit quiet as a result of the Hungry Ghost Month.
Well, it's I think pent-up demand that's built up over the circuit breaker period can only carry us so far. And there must be a basis for building up this pent-up demand. There's a few macroeconomic factors such as low interest rate is one of them, but I think by and large it has to come with confidence. Confidence among the home buyers that things will get better. And the other thing is also sentiments are also improving, partly as reflected by the improvement in the stock market as we compared to during the lockdown period. I think another factor is that many home buyers, those who are prepared to enter the market, are already conditioned by the cooling measures that they, if they were to acquire a property, they must be prepared to hold it for at least 3 years or more. And with this expectation, they expect that prices of property probably will rise next year or the year after that when the COVID-19 pandemic comes under control. So with a longer holding horizon, they are prepared to commit now because they see that perhaps during a crisis or during a pandemic, that may be the best time to acquire a property before prices goes up.
Yeah, but what kind of price movements have we really seen at the moment if people are looking to, as you say, perhaps bargain hunt before prices start to move up again?
Well, actually, prices has not dropped significantly. Based on the latest official statistics, it has risen by just 0.3% in the second quarter. But here is another curious thing is that during in the second quarter, and that's when we had the circuit breaker in April and May, home prices actually increased, partly because even during the lockdown, people were still buying properties. Yes, the rise is quite gentle, but it also means that there is potential that prices could go even higher next year. I think that's the belief that is driving some of these home buyers to put their money on the table.
So, Nick, just to be clear, because we are in the middle of a recession, but yet buyers are confident at the moment. We're seeing, you know, job cuts across the board. Who's buying right now?
Well, the problem or the issue is that this COVID-19 pandemic is not an equal opportunity disease. It basically affects the lower income more heavily than the middle and upper income. So there are still some people who are still have quite stable jobs. They are less affected, and they have actually the means to invest. And some of them may be, for example, there are some of the buyers are actually quite young. They are not even married yet. Perhaps with assistance, financial assistance from their parents, they may see it as a form of family investment.
Right. So how much more or how high do you expect prices to go in the coming year? What kind of increase can we expect then?
Well, I think the price increase is going to be very modest. For the whole of this year, the price index may just go up by about 2%. So it's not going to be something like 6 or to 10% like what we've seen during a major property boom. Just about 0 to 2% price increase, very modest. But the transaction volume, and this is the numbers that's been reported today, is that the transaction volume, especially in the primary market, is remaining healthy, about over 1,200 private homes were sold by developers. And this is, that means this is bringing us back to the same level as September last year. That's after the Hungry Ghost Month. So basically, even during the Hungry Ghost Month, people are braving the Hungry Ghost to go out and buy shop for properties.
And from what I understand, Nick, this is the highest numbers for sales in the month of August, which is typically, as you mentioned, slower because of Hungry Ghost Month in the last 8 years. So with that moderate increase expected in property prices and with everything that's happening at the moment, are you starting to see shifts in buying patterns then? Is that possibly what's driving this, perhaps as a result of COVID-19, we're starting to see people look to upgrade, or what's happening?
Well, I think another factor that's driving it is that we are also seeing a high number of HDB flats that are reaching the end of their five-year minimum occupation period. That means the owners of this HDB flat can sell their flats on the resale market, which means they can move on to private properties. That is another reason that, and some of these flats, these HDB flats, because they are brand new and if they are very well located, they can sell for fairly high prices, netting the flat owners quite a handsome profit, which might encourage them to put this into a new private home.
Do you think that we could also be seeing an increase in property investment as a flight to safety in light of the volatility that we've been seeing happen in the equity markets at the moment?
Well, I think that if the buyer were to think that this is a flight to safety, they have to be aware that real estate is also another form of risky asset. The value goes up and down, and most buyers are actually hoping that, the value will go up at the time that they plan to sell it. But they must bear in mind it is not a risk-free asset. It's not a risk-free asset. So there are some people who feel that if having something that's brick and mortar, something that's physical rather than securities, it's also a sense of pride. It's a sense of arrival that they can own a second property, for instance, this is one of the middle-class dreams among some Singaporeans.
And so you expect this momentum to continue through to September. Any hot spots that we should look out for?
Well, I think in the coming month, one area of Singapore that's seeing more activities is actually in the Upper Bukit Timah area, somewhere towards the junction around the Beauty World area. There's going to be about three new big residential projects that will be launched in the area. For Red at Bukit Timah is the first of this tree that is launched. There's a few more that's coming up. I think this area is going to see quite a bit of attention from home buyers as well as the media. Another interesting thing, of course, is that this is located in the city fringe, so the city fringe activities is going to pick up in the next few months.
Okay. We're speaking with Nicholas Mark, Head of Research and Consultancy at ERA Real Estate. Now, Nick, you recently wrote a piece on the impact of property cooling measures on the good class bungalow market. You looked at the 18 months before and the 18 months after measures such as the additional buyer stamp duty were introduced. So where are we now from your analysis? What did you observe on the GCB market? Are we looking at transaction volume, profitability, investor sentiment? What were some of your key findings?
Well, the GCB or the good class bungalow market is a very exclusive market. The average price of a good class bungalow is about 30 million Singapore dollars.
Just a little bit above my budget there, Nick.
Yes. Well, and what I found is that many of these owners are actually very patient. They are prepared to hold on to the properties for close to 11 years before selling it. And the cooling measures actually didn't deflate prices much. In fact, it has one interesting thing is that it has caused some of the buyers to buy the smaller bungalows. That means bungalows that are technically not GCB, because to be a good class bungalows, the land area must be at least 1,400 square meters. But then, and they are located within the 39 designated GCB areas. But there are some bungalows within this area that have on smaller land size, but they're still bungalows.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing is that there is a slight switch among some of these buyers to the smaller bungalows, but prices actually didn't go down.
So relatively insulated from market shocks.
Yes, this year, the COVID-19 market shock is actually more severe than the cooling measures, because it's quite unexpected, and I think the effects is still ongoing. So what we have noticed is that, yes, there are some headline-grabbing transactions. In fact, one just hit the headline this week about of transactions of GCB, but the number of GCB transacted in the first 8 months of this year is still fewer than what was transacted in the first 8 months of last year. So the COVID-19 pandemic did take a toll on the GCB market. It hasn't deflated prices. It just has slowed down transactions.
So what's your outlook for the GCB market then? What should buyers and investors keep a lookout for moving forward?
Well, I think that among the buyers and investors, well, if they have that kind of budget, they are usually very wealthy, high net worth individuals. Most of the time, they would have their preferred location. They will focus on certain areas where they may want to buy. And I think it's almost like buying a very big rare diamonds or a very big expensive work of art that is in the tens of millions of dollars. So most of these collectors, and some of these GCB owners are a bit like collectors, they would have focused on this particular location, a particular assets, and they are probably are prepared to wait it out. And similarly for the sellers, some of the sellers may be interested to receive offers, but they are also not in a hurry to sell. So it's a kind of a waiting game right now, and I think this is where the negotiation skills might come into play for those buyers and sellers.
Other than looking at slightly smaller plots, have you seen any evolution in this market?
Well, I think that for some of the owners, there are some who buy very large GCB land parcels and may carve it up into smaller land parcels, a smaller size. That means they may buy one big land parcel with one house, carve it up into two or three smaller plots, and sell it each one as a good class bungalow plot. That has happened,
okay.
But most of them would still prefer to keep it to the minimum, at least the minimum size of a GCB.
Keep that rare diamond hold. Well, thank you so much for your insights, Nick. It's been wonderful catching up with you as always.
Well, it's my pleasure too.
We've been speaking with Nicholas Mark, Head of Research and Consultancy at ERA Real Estate, here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.